Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
One of my favorite analysts in town is Logan Paulson, and he joined me on my podcast yesterday. We are on the eve of training camp, and this is how it went. Jumping on with us right now is one of my favorites on the show, and one of your favorites as well. Logan Paulson is with us. Of course, Logan played for the Skins from 2010 through 2014. He was with the Bears. He was with the 49ers. He was with the Falcons. He was briefly with the Texans as well. And for the last couple of years, of course, Logan has really been doing a phenomenal job as an analyst for the Commanders website, for the Commanders YouTube channel, where he does a show with Fred Smoot and Santana Moss. He's got a podcast with Craig Hoffman called Take Command, and he joins me right now. We'll get into the team here in a moment, but I wanted to ask you just about training camp in general. You know, how you got ready for it, how you perceived it. I can't imagine it's like something that everybody looks forward to, like it's a lot of fun. But just give me your overall memories of that first day of camp and reporting to camp. And maybe if you've got a story or two that stands out, you can share that with us as well.
Yeah, what is training camp like? I mean, that's a great question. And also, thank you for the wonderful introduction. You're always too kind, Kevin. The thing about training camp is it's like the hardest thing you do. Like, it's like one of the hardest things physically that I ever had to do in my entire life. So, like, the week leading up, you're super anxious. The day of, you're anxious. Get out there. It's hot. It's very challenging. And so there's a lot of anxiety, at least for me, around training camp in this time of year, because not only was I physically about to be put through quite a stressful environment, but like psychologically and emotionally, it was also very stressful because, you know, I was kind of a roster bubble, roster fringe guy for the majority of my career. And so, you know, this was the start of my year that was the most important job interview of my life. And it happened 10 times. And it was always like, I got to pour everything out to make sure I have a shot to be playing NFL football and they don't take one of these bigger, faster, stronger guys that are on the roster inevitably with me. So that was something that always stuck out to me. One of the funniest stories that I have from my time here in Washington, I've told this a couple different places. I remember we were down in Richmond. We were coming back from like an exceptionally hot practice, and I was sitting in the bus with like Trent Williams and Will Compton, and we were just kind of hanging out, and we got on the idea that, like, you know, I was like really having a tough practice. It was very physically challenging. I was going against like Ryan Kerrigan and Brian Arakpo. Those guys were giving me fits a little bit. And Trent, you know, was sitting in front of me and seat in front of me, kind of looked at me and he goes, "You know what, man? Like, whenever football gets hard for me, I'm just gonna retire." And I just stared at him for a second. I was like, "And like, it is hard for me every single day." And it just kind of spoke. It just spoke to this thing for me that, like, I was like, we're not in the same sphere athletically or physically, you know, because he was just such a special guy. But that was one training camp story that always stick out for me.
Yeah, I don't think that Trent's ever found anything overly difficult as a player in the NFL. But I had a thought about this particular training camp. It's a training camp with a new coaching staff. And you went through that in 2010. You were a rookie, but the players that were here that were veterans were faced with a new coaching staff. Mike Shanahan arrived in 2010. You also went through it in 2017 in San Francisco when Kyle was in his first year as a head coach. I don't know if you went through it with any of the other teams you were on, but I was wondering whether or not even established players like John Allen and Daron Payne and Terry McLaurin, if there's more angst associated with a training camp with a new coaching regime, because there's a sense of needing to prove yourself all over again.
I mean, obviously, for some, there is a little bit of proving yourself, and obviously, you know, their pedigree, I think, you know, John, Daron, and Terry, I think their pedigree speaks for themselves. But I do think a guy like Jahan Dotson, for example, a guy that I think we were all very high on 2 years ago, a guy that we're still very high on, needs to kind of establish that he is a guy that could be your number two receiver for the foreseeable future, a guy that has, like, tremendous receiving upside. So absolutely, I think they need to establish themselves. I think that's one thing that I find, having been through a couple different training camps with a couple different teams, you know, with new coaching staffs or whatever, is that some of the older established players kind of take it like in a traditional way, in a way that they would have done with their previous staff or the staff that drafted them. When in reality, you kind of need to double down and refocus and kind of, you know, again, this is a job interview. Like, make sure you put your best foot forward with regards to, you know, yourself as a player and yourself as a person. So I think that's always that can be really challenging for some more established players. And I've seen guys kind of falter through that process a little bit and have a tough time kind of with the new staff and the change in kind of the rhythm of practice or the way they do things in practice. So absolutely, I think it's something that, you know, maybe not Daron and John and Terry, but, you know, everybody else on the roster definitely is in that boat, I think.
Going back to when you said it's the most physically demanding thing you do, I'm just thinking, you know, anybody out there listening that played sports at any point, especially if you played, you know, maybe through high school, there was a period in which certainly old school coaches decided to really test you physically to see if you were in shape. I played basketball and it was suicides. You know, I can remember in actual, like, the first couple of practices were running like suicides until people are vomiting. I don't know why you would do that, but you know, in some ways, I guess it's to weed out, you know, certain players. What's the most physically demanding thing that happens or has happened to you in a training camp?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The most physically demanding thing that I ever did in any training camp was in 2013. We had this drill, this period called two drills in that year. One was pod drills, and one was this period called Apache period, like the helicopter. And in pod drill, basically, like, me as the blocking tight end, I would go with the offensive line, the defensive line would come over, and it was basically 4-on-6, because I was part of the blocking surface. And we would just run different combinations. We'd run counter, so I would down block. We'd run power, so I would down block. We'd run bounce, so I'd shield, and the guy would pull. The problem was, like, Bill Callahan was running the drill, and the offensive line would rotate every 3 or 4 plays. And I was in the whole time. And so in a 10-minute period, or less than that, 8-minute period, we would get in approximately 16 to 22 plays, which is a lot consecutively. And so basically, like, I would go, and I would, by the end of that period, I would be really sore because I had just blocked for 22 consecutive plays and feel like I was going to vomit because there's no ball. It's just straight run fits, and I don't get any rest. The O-line gets a rest every three. So that was very challenging. And then in that same practice, we would do a 2-minute period, and then we would do an Apache period. And Apache period was basically a full field drive with our Apache package, which is our, like, our hurry-up offense.
Right.
And so, unlike 2-minute, which is somewhat self-contained in the sense that you're like, it's like maybe a 5-play drive. Like, you can go on a 13-play Apache drive because you're doing runs, you're doing quick game, you're doing all these different things. And I just remember, I'd go from pods, we do a team period, we do Apache, to just basically like dry heaving in the huddle because I was so out of breath. And this was down in Richmond where it was incredibly hot.
Right.
And we did that almost every single day. So that was a pretty rigorous training camp. But I think on the whole, it's the idea of camp, the idea that you get up at 7, you meet from 8 to 10, you go to practice from 10 to 12:30, you go to meetings after lunch, you have a walkthrough in the afternoon, you go to meetings again. It's just a day. And the fact that it's every single day for 2.5-3 weeks like that is the thing that makes it extremely mentally and physically exhausting.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right. We haven't really talked for about 2 months. I think it was shortly after the rookie minicamp, and you had kind of your first experience up close with Jaden Daniels. You had a chance to see him through OTAs and through the mandatory minicamp. How ready do you think he is heading into camp to ultimately, emerge from camp as the starter against Tampa in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a really great job of, establishing himself as the guy that I think is the best quarterback on the roster. And now it's up to Dan and the staff to decide how best to kind of use that and allocate that and determine whether he's ready to be starting games early in the season, obviously. But I think he's got what you're looking for. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be the next Peyton Manning, the next Andrew Luck, anything like that. I think he's got a long way to go still because there's still periods and times in practice, where the defense will get him or he'll make an errant throw or whatever. But I do think just from a, down-to-down consistency standpoint, he's the best quarterback through OTAs and through minicamp. And obviously training camp is another kind of step up in terms of speed, in terms of intensity. So how does he handle that? But I think he's a guy that has positioned himself extremely well to be playing football for this team. I'm not going to say starting week one, but definitely starting sooner rather than later.
Do you think he should start week one?
I mean, as of right now, yeah. But, as you've been covering this team for a long time, you've been covering football for a long time, like, things happen in training camp, things happen in joint practices, things happen in the preseason that help kind of separate guys on the roster. And so, I don't foresee this happening, but hypothetically, if he were to take a little bit of aggression or a regression and Marcus Mariota needed to start for a couple weeks, I see that's totally fair. But as of right now, I would probably say he would be my starting quarterback week one. But again, things change, and that's why this is a fluid evaluation process.
What are the things that you're confident that he'll be really good at right from the beginning?
You know what? I think right away, I think just his process has been really impressive to me. Like, his ability to kind of his footwork in the pocket's been really impressive, which lends me to think that he'll be good at quick game. I think his release is excellent. Like, the RPO game, I think, will totally be on the table. And looking at what some of the stuff they did in Philadelphia with Brian Johnson, I think that might transfer really well. I think he layers throws at a high level, like, just in terms of watching practice. And again, that's different than a game, but I think there's, because of his footwork, I think it lends himself to be a much better passer than I think people were perhaps anticipating who were kind of tangentially following him through the draft process. So I'm going to say generally the pass game is something that I think he's really ready to be successful in, and something that I can't wait to watch him kind of continue to grow at during this training camp process.
If I told you there was a part of his game that was, it took some time, that it was slow developing, and, it wasn't there at the beginning, it may not be there at the middle of the season, but maybe by the end of the season it starts to improve, what area of his game would that be?
Yeah, you know, I don't really know as of right now, because he's a human being. He's not perfect. He's not the second coming of Peyton Manning, but he had a really good offseason OTA period. You know, he did a really good job. And I think if there was one weakness to his game, it would be kind of those throws on time over the middle of the field, the throws into tight windows. And I anticipate that he just gets better at that, because like the more reps he gets, the better that's going to be. But those are two areas where, again, that separates good quarterback play from great quarterback play. And did he show flashes of that during the OTA minicamp period? Sure. But I want to see him be a little bit more consistent with that. And so obviously there was a little bit of progression during the offseason, but I think a continued progression is to be expected. And, you know, if he does, I think he'll be a pretty gosh darn good quarterback.
I don't need you to quantify this answer unless you want to, but what would represent for you a really good rookie season, something where you'd be like, that's a really solid rookie season? How would you describe that?
I think there's something when you're watching quarterback play. You know, I think back to Sam Howell last year, where there was that 3 or 4 game stretch where he looked like he had it. He's making tough throws, he's running the offense, he's keeping things on time. And again, it doesn't need to necessarily be big explosive plays down the field, but just running the offense effectively for 16 or 17 weeks in the NFL, like, that to me would be extremely encouraging and something that I would be just tremendously excited about, because it means that you've got a guy that this NFL game, the complexity of NFL defenses isn't too big for him. Like, you know, he can throw picks, he can throw touchdowns, but the down-to-down consistency of him executing, you know, a slant, then executing a deep dig, then doing a play pass and running his own read, moving the chains for the offense over the course of the season, like, that would be the number one indicator for me of him being successful this year, and the idea that that the franchise would have a franchise quarterback moving forward. And that's something, again, like, it's not predicated on touchdowns, it's not predicated on interceptions, it's the down-to-down consistency that would lead to a successful season, in my estimation.
Scale of 1 to 5. 1, you are not concerned at all. 5, you're extremely concerned. What would you give the offensive line, your thoughts on the offensive line?
I'm going to say like a 3.5, maybe 3-4, something like that. And that's not because I don't trust some of the personnel they've brought in. Like, obviously, like, I think, you know, Wiley's a better football player than he showed last year. I think Cosme's on the precipice of being something good. Biotis, I think, could be something special, you know, at center, something very solid at center, not special, but solid at center, which we haven't had here for a couple of years. But then I think the left side of the offensive line, I think Cornelius Lucas is the best pass protector on the team, maybe. Obviously, like, there's more to playing offensive line than pass protection. And then there's a big question at offensive guard. I think the questions and the new pieces coming in and just how that all comes together are things that give me a little bit of pause and a little bit of concern about the group. And again, it's not that I think there's bad football players on the team. It just, with offensive line play, it's so closely tied to how they all see the defense, how they communicate. And, you know, they haven't got a ton of reps over the offseason. That's a new offseason structure kind of around the NFL. But I'm a little bit concerned just because the newness of everything. And it takes a lot to get those guys to gel together. It can be done. And so, you know, I might feel totally different about that, you know, moving it, you know, before the season starts. But right now, there's just so many questions around that position group.
If Cliff Kingsbury has the same level of concern, a 3.5 or 4, does he have to scheme around that?
Yeah, 100%. But I think that's something that is a little bit of an unfair question, and this isn't a criticism of you. It's just a criticism of, like, NFL, you know, like, pundits in general. Like, you always have to scheme around your offensive line. You always are kind of finding what speaks best for them, what runs are the best, what protections are best, how do I deleverage them the most. Even the best offensive lines in football, you know, like, look at the Detroit Lions. It's, like, kind of, you know, universally considered the best O-line in football. Like, they schematically do really innovative stuff to maximize that group. Kyle Shanahan, like, he maximized the O-line. Mike McDaniels maximized the O-line. And I think every play caller, like, that's the thing that kind of the yoke that weighs your offense potentially, right? Obviously, quarterback's the other one. But if you don't call a game with them in mind, then I personally think you're doing it wrong. I think that should always be one of your foremost concerns. So, you know, even if that's a one, even if I'm not concerned about the O-line at all, through play calling, I can make that a five. You know, I can go out there and say, I'm not concerned. We're going to drop back pass 50 times a game, and we're going to put those guys in absolute hell, and they're going to look like a bad group. Or I can pull a Kyle Shanahan. We're going to run the ball. We're going to play action pass. We're going to be in 4 to 5 drop-back pass scenarios a game. Brock Purdy's good enough to elevate us, right? And all of a sudden, the offensive lines are not concerned. And when you go across that San Francisco offensive line, there are some big question marks there, but you never know about it because the play caller does a great job. And I think that's something that, you know, just generally NFL people need to be aware of. It's like, that is the thing. There's plenty of good skill position guys. There's plenty of good receivers, running backs, tight ends. It's the five offensive linemen. They have the hardest job in the offense outside of football. You definitely need to be accounting for what they're doing at all times, for sure.
Do you have a feel yet for what the Kingsbury offense is going to be, what the kind of sort of the hallmark of it is going to be?
Yeah, no, not yet. I think that's, again, talk about things to be excited about. It's one of the things I'm maybe most excited to see this offseason is, like, what it finally becomes. Because, you know, watching him in Arizona, there was a pretty significant evolution, right? And what they were in 2021 was different than when he got there, I think, in 2019 or whatever it was, 18. And so now you have different pieces. You have different skill position guys. You have different offensive line concerns. You have a young quarterback. And you have all these different, you know, you have Anthony Lynn coming in. You have Brian Johnson coming in. Guys that came from really exquisite, you know, offenses in terms of run philosophy. And I look at that and I say to myself, like, this could be really exciting, you know, in terms of the level of innovation that's happening. And obviously I think the cornerstone is going to be, you know, what Cliff wants to do. He wants to get back, he wants to throw the football, but he also understands that in the NFL you need to keep the defense off balance. And so how do you do that? Are you bringing some of that kind of NFL triple option where we've got the zone read action with the receivers out to the left and we can throw the football or run as the quarterback? It's something they ran a ton at LSU. Are we running, you know, the heavy play action stuff that Anthony Lynn was exposed to with Kyle in San Francisco? Like, is that a feature of it? Because I think it's just the thing that I love about Cliff in terms of watching him is he knows how to get guys open. And he knows how to scheme guys open using different tools. And so what do those tools become? Because right now, I think ultimately, they're still probably trying to figure out what exactly this group of offensive players is good at. And once that is discovered and once they've kind of figured out the correct tools to get the job done, I think this is going to be a pretty exciting offense.
Yeah, I can't wait for that either. It's one of the things that I'm most excited to see is how, you know, because he has been called by people that know him as incredibly smart, incredibly creative, and he certainly has a quarterback, don't you think, that has a lot of versatility in terms of the things that you could do.
I mean, I totally agree, and I think that's one of the things that's, again, that's really exciting about this is I think Jaden Daniels has the potential to be something special as a runner and as a thrower. And so when you have a quarterback that can put the defense in conflict like that, and you have a play caller who, like you said, has this reputation of understanding how to put the defense in conflict, and you give him this wonderful chess piece, I think it just it opens up the book so much more. Like, having a running quarterback or a mobile quarterback is so devastating for defenses. And I think that, honestly, that's one of the reasons why Cliff is the offensive coordinator here, because Dan had to prep for him a bunch of times over the course of his NFL career. And when you look at that Arizona offense, man, they are so good at putting you in conflict. And I think about, like, I think Cliff's going to bring that here. He's going to put you in conflict. The thing that I keep coming back to is, how's he going to do it? Obviously, he's going to throw the ball. That's like one of his main core tenets. I think Jaden Daniels can handle that. But it's the other stuff, the frills, the motions, the shifts, the formations that I'm really excited to see, like, what they truly lean into, personnel groupings, to maximize this offensive group.
Give me a player on offense that you're really excited about, that you're confident is going to be a beneficiary of all of the change here. And maybe it's somebody that we're not necessarily thinking of.
That's a really good question. I would have to say a guy that I'm just excited for in general, and I think would be successful kind of regardless of scheme, is Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, he's a guy that I'm just the way he catches the football. I think about the last day of OTAs. They're running three verts off of a jet motion action, and he's running the middle seam, like the seam up the hash, and the way he can torch to catch the football. And I'm like, that's a piece that's going to make you better. The way he sees cuts, his contact balance, the way he catches the football. I think Cliff's going to find a way to maximize that skill set, and he's going to be a devastating piece in this offense.
Logan Paulson talking Washington Commanders offense. We also talked about the defense and got his areas of concern, areas of how do they do it pass rush-wise, and you'll hear that and more when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So we continued, Logan Paulson and I did. You heard him on the offense. We flipped it to the defensive side of the ball, and I asked him, how are they going to generate a pass rush this year?
Oh, man, that's why you get paid the big bucks, man, that's as a defensive coordinator and as a D-line coach, to figure that kind of stuff out. But what I will say is, like, when you watch Dallas, you know, obviously Michael Parsons is an absolute animal, and he's going to create a ton of pressure. But what one thing I will say that I loved about what they did in Dallas is they really found ways to maximize the 4-man rush, 5-man rush, simulated pressures with stunts and games. And through the OTA process, one of the things, like, you go watch individual, obviously Coach Daryl Tapp is out there getting those guys juiced up and bringing the energy, but they are repping, even now, games and stunts and the timing on that stuff. Because there were times last year where I'm like, this stunt, this game along the front feels like a blitz because of how well they've run it and how quickly they get the free runner to the quarterback. And so, again, you can't do that all the time, but you can do it enough and do it way more than they did last year and coach it to a higher level to maximize these groups. Another thing I want to point out, too, is the defensive system that Darryl Tapp comes from, defensive system that Dan Quinn comes from, is kind of this aggressive. It's an aggressive front. They really are motivated to rush the passer. And so one of the things I think just schematically that's going to help this group out is the simplicity they're going to bring. Hey, man, like, stop the run on the way to the pass. We're always rushing the passer. And he was like, oh, that's kind of silly. But the funny thing about that is you end up falling into sacks on play pass, on keepers, on zone reads that are kind of junk sacks, but they still show up on the stat sheet. So I think all of those things, those two things specifically, in conjunction with just a better defensive philosophy and a better coverage halo and umbrella on the back end, are going to help this group create more pressure than anticipated. Obviously, they still need, I think, to probably add some pieces, and that's why this is a multi-year rebuild. But I think the X's and O's are going to be the big thing, in my opinion, and the execution of those X's and O's that are going to lead to sacks for this group.
Did you play with Darryl Tapp?
No.
I did.
You did?
Here in Washington.
Right, he was here for a year, right?
Yeah, he was here for a year, and obviously I played against him when he was in Philly.
Yeah.
And I will say that dude has, like, maybe the hardest head of any human being. Like, talk about Denton face masks. That guy definitely played with that type of mindset.
On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 not concerned at all, 5 extremely concerned, what are your thoughts on the cornerbacks on this roster?
1 not concerned. I'm probably a 2.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily because of the personnel. Obviously, like, you know, St. Jude has his shortcomings. Emmanuel Forbes has his shortcomings. I'm just so confident in, you know, Joe Witt Jr., honestly, and what he's done in his resume and his ability to maximize those guys in the back end. And even just watching through minicamp and OTAs, just you can tell there's a level of detail and a level of precision in the techniques of those guys in the back end that just hasn't been here for a while. And I think that's going to allow those guys to play significantly better. And again, it's kind of like the defensive line. The scheme's going to elevate them. And at some point, you know, maybe next year they have to draft a cornerback in the first round or whatever that looks like. But I am not that concerned about that group because I think the X's and O's are going to elevate the Jimmys and Joes in a way that we haven't seen. You know, last year was kind of like, go out and play ball, guys. Like, hey, 4-man rush, go win. And then did they give those guys in the back end enough communication tools and a good enough understanding of what the coverage philosophy was? I mean, there were times where I'd be talking to Ron, you know, we'd watch the film together, and he'd be like, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. And in my head, I'm like, well, does he know that? Because good coaches make sure that gets communicated. And you can tell through the OTA minicamp process, like the DB coach, Joe Witt Jr., Dan Quinn, they're going to hold those guys to a different standard. So I'm expecting significantly improved performance just based on better coaching.
I mean, do you feel that way about the defense overall?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
1,000%. I mean, I think you look at, like, even the addition of Bobby Wagner, you know, like having that guy in the middle of your defense, you know, he's not what he once was, but the ability to communicate, put guys in the right spot, encourage guys to play fast, like kind of be the translator for Joe Witt Jr. for some of these defensive concepts to help guys see certain tells about, you know, stance work and tendencies and down and distance. Like, he's going to elevate, right? I think the defensive philosophy in general is just going to elevate everybody. So, yeah, I 100% feel that way. And obviously they got to figure some stuff out with regards to personnel. Like, there's going to be an evolution here because of the pieces that they have. But I think this group's going to be significantly better than they were last year.
I mean, I'm just excited, actually, to see Duron and John bounce back with an organized, you know, group with a
yeah.
team and a staff that knows they aren't lame duck. Like, there, I just have to think that last year's overall vibe just wasn't conducive to great play on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially when you look at the defensive stuff, like, it just, you know, obviously there's an element of guys needing to play better, but, like, there's also times where you're watching it and you're saying, are you maximizing what this guy can do? Are you maximizing what this group can do? And there are oftentimes, you're trying to give coaches and the staff and the players the benefit of the doubt, but I think if you were being objective, you had to say no. And I'm hoping that that changes dramatically this year based on what we've seen this, Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn do in Dallas.
If I told you that between Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes Jr., one had a very good season in 2024 and one didn't, which of the two did have a good 2024 season and why?
You know, if you asked Fred Smoot, it would probably be the opposite answer. But I'd have to say if Emmanuel Forbes had a good season, I would not be surprised. For me, I'm a little bit on the fence about this transition of Jamin Davis to edge rusher. I know there are some people that have a lot of faith in it. Pass rushing is a very interesting, nuanced, technical thing, and you can't just plug big athletes in there and let them go hunt as a pass rusher. Like, it takes a little bit of time. And, you know, if you thought he was a linebacker, wouldn't you want him getting linebacker reps next to Bobby Wagner, you know? And so I'm a little confused about the vision there. And again, I trust Dan. I trust Joe Witt Jr. I'm not second guessing them. But in terms of like long term, like, I think that's a really tough transition. And I think when you watch Forbes in the minicamp, I think he's playing more confident. I think he's playing more physical, specifically in coverage. Obviously, we don't have the pads on. They're not attacking anybody yet, but he's making plays on the football. And so I think in this defense with the tells and the confidence that Joe Witt can get this back end playing with, I think he's going to make a lot more plays.
Same question I asked about the offense. Give me a player on defense that you're excited about that many people perhaps aren't necessarily thinking about.
I mean, this might, I don't know if it's, are people thinking a lot about Quan Martin right now? Is this a fair answer?
No, if that's your answer, it's your answer. I mean, I'm kind of really excited to see him because I thought he played so well down the stretch. But, you know, not every.
Yeah, and I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing about him that's so special is that he can play nickel, he can play dime, which is Buffalo nickel, he can play post safety, he can play box safety. And in this defense that values flexibility and values physicality and values instincts, I just think he's got those things. And so if you want to play near the line of scrimmage, you can do that. If you want to play in the post, you can do that. And so especially given how we played the last six games of last season, I think he's a guy I can't wait to see what they do with him and how they utilize him.
Thank you. As always, I hope you're well. Would love to do it again right before the opener in September.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Logan Paulson, everybody, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I really like Logan a lot. I think he does a really good job analyzing football. I think part of it is because he still coaches. You know, he's the offensive coordinator for a high school out in Northern Virginia, and I think that is meaningful. But always like having him on, and we'll, you know, try to do it again before this season begins. So here we are on the verge of training camp 2024 beginning. The veteran players are reporting. The rookies have been there for a few days, and tomorrow will be the first practice. I think training camp 2024 can easily be described as just everything's new. I mean, there is nothing basically the same as it used to be, from ownership to a new front office led by a new GM to a new coach with a completely new staff. 52 of the 90 players, 52 of the 90 players in camp are brand new. They weren't on the roster last year. At least half of the likely starters on opening day will be new, could be more than half. The quarterback is new. He's the first QB they've had in the building since 2017 that legitimately could be the quarterback of the next decade. He's as exciting a prospect at the position that this organization's had in 12 years. It's new everywhere. Is it improved? Well, it should be for sure in the short term. It'd be hard to imagine a worse team than the one they fielded in 2023. But how much improved? You know, the coaching staff isn't in lame duck mode. That was a big part of what happened last year. It wasn't just what happened during the season. It was many of the decisions that were made in the offseason leading into last season. Last year was really almost doomed before it started. You had a new ownership group who was going to replace the people that were there. And they went out in a blaze of glory, that's for sure. 4-13, being run out of the building as many times as they ever had in the history of the franchise. They'll be improved in 2024, even with a rookie at quarterback. Look, they essentially had a rookie last year at quarterback. But how much improved? I don't know. But the key is, will they be improving as the next few years roll off? And the key to that is whether or not they got the quarterback right. To me, this is all about this upcoming season, whether or not they got Jaden Daniels right. There are other things, obviously, because a football team has another unit that's out there half the time defensively. But in this league, in this century, it's about the quarterback more than it is anything else. And at the end of the 2024 season, when they finish it up with Dallas in that first week of January, we need to know that they got it right on Jaden Daniels. That is more important than the record or anything else. Now, if they got it right, I think there's a chance this team could end up winning. You can't win half your games unless you tie one. But I think there's a chance they could win 7 or 8 games. You know, I hesitate to go to 9 because you get to 9-8 and all of a sudden you're talking about a team that's in contention for the postseason. But if we get to the end of 2024 of the regular season and realize they got it right on Jaden Daniels, I'd be surprised if they have less than 7 wins. I would think at least a 7-10 type of season would be in play. But this is a different training camp than we've had in recent years. Everything is new. Everything is sort of in that mode of anticipating what will happen with the general manager's new roster, with the coaches and the way they handle the players that the general manager picked. And of course, whether or not Jaden Daniels turns out to be what he was in college, which was one of the most exciting college players in recent memory. At 301-230-0980, I want to open up phone lines right now. 301-230-0980. I want to know what your level of excitement and anticipation are for this upcoming season. Is it much more than it's been in recent years? Is it just more than it's been in recent years? Is it the same as it's been in recent years? Or is it less, for whatever reason, than it's been in recent years? And I understand there are other factors in play which drive the emotions that you have or don't have for this upcoming season. But 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, what is your level of excitement, of anticipation for the upcoming season as training camp starts really in earnest tomorrow with their first full-fledged training camp practice? Do you feel it much more than you have in recent years? Is it the same as it's been in recent years, or is it less than it's been in recent years? Phone lines are open. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Everything is new, you know, as we are on the verge of training camp beginning. New owners, new front office, new coaching staff. 52 of the 90 training camp roster players are new. At least half of the starters on opening day will be new. And the new quarterback is the best chance for a decade-long starter since you-know-who in 2017. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What is your level of excitement excitement and anticipation for the upcoming season? Is it more than it's been in recent years, the same as it's been, or is it less than it's been? And I know there are other factors in play here in terms of how they affect your emotions about this team as we enter a new season. Let's start with JP in Southeast. JP, go ahead.
Appreciate that, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the call.
Sure.
No, but to answer your question, man, I'm all the way excited, man, and it's just across the board. You know, you said it in the question by saying everything new, but I don't recall a time where it's been this new across the board. And you just look at the team. You know, obviously you'll start off at quarterback with, you know, who Jaden Daniels was in college, all that experience, the continued growth, and then you get to, you know, all season, the mini camp, the OTAs, and every single time I heard you guys mention what was happening at practice and heard other players talk, it was all positive. You know, so that I don't say that worries me, that's scary, but at the same time, you traditionally do not hear that from a quarterback. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, you know, B-Rob, you know, potentially finding an OC that's going to actually give him the ball. And then when he's not in the game, you got Austin Eckler, who can potentially get back to where he was just two seasons ago before the injury, when he was an absolute, you know, killer out the backfield. Then the O-line, you know, obviously they're much maligned, you know, compared to all the other position groups. But if you guys remember, when Jacoby Brissett came in the game last year, the offensive line looked way better. And so I'm excited to see what they can be with a real OC, real, you know, offensive minds behind them. Then you go to – I don't remember the last time we had backers the way that we have right now with, you know, Wagner and Luvu, even a rookie. I'm hearing the rookie made, you know, some huge, you know, plays and minicamp and all of that.
McGee, yeah.
And so I'm just excited. You know, we got good coaching, it seems. So I can't wait, Kevin.
God, that's good, JP. Good call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had – there's never been a year in recent memory like this one. You know, in 2010, you had Shanahan and McNabb. That's probably the closest in terms of massive change. You know, 2004, we had Gibbs come back and Brunell was the quarterback. You know, the RG3 year was still the same staff, same owner all along. The 2020 changes, there was no excitement at quarterback necessarily in 2020, other than Ron Rivera taking over and having a second year guy in Haskins in the building. But we haven't had anything like we've had now. There are other factors that drive the way you feel about the team, but just looking at the football part, new front office that constructed, you know, a roster that's got 52 new players in training camp than a year before, you know, likely half of them new starters, new staff, new head coach who took a team to a Super Bowl and had a 28-3 lead in it. The quarterback, obviously, is a big part of the new heading into this year. What's your level of excitement? Jimbo from the Eastern Shore. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Kevin. Good afternoon. I would say, being along with others, is definitely optimistic in a good way. And you would tend to think, I've never coached or nothing, but with all the new players and personnel turnover, even with some veterans, I would say they should have a little bit of a read on this team. You know, 4 to 8 games anyway. What do you think?
Well, I think every season is a new season. Like, every week in the NFL is almost like its own entity. But, you know, I don't know if 4 weeks you really learn that much about teams. I think you got to get almost to the halfway mark in the NFL to really understand what teams are. And even then, you know, injuries can change things. But I think, you know, I hope that 8 games into the season, we have a sense as to whether or not number 5 is the right guy at quarterback. But it takes time on these young guys. It's not like if it's not great, if the statistical numbers aren't awesome week 8, you're going to bail. There are other things to the job that could be indicators that he's the right guy. But that's where a lot of the focus will be. I'm also just intrigued with what they'll look like defensively. because I think last year a lame duck staff with Ron and Jack, I think that, you know, you had just miserable, early on, miserable performances by on both sides of the ball. And even when you got on a little bit of a run offensively, the defense couldn't get off the field. I just wonder whether or not coaching in 2024 will make this defense much better. It can't be worse than it was last year, but I'm wondering how good it could be with the additions of Luvu, Wagner, Chin. And I'm expecting Duran and John to have big bounce back years. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic's calling from Tampa. Dominic, what's your level of excitement, anticipation for this upcoming season where everything is new?
Hey, Kevin, as always, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those realists, okay? And I'm going to be very transparent, you know. To me, we've seen this song and dance before. The excitement, the anticipation, and what happens? They lay an egg, all right? And I get it. All new everything, staff, the band's not, I get all that. But I look at it this way too, Kevin. Are we really better than the teams in our division? No, we're not better than Dallas. We're not better than Philadelphia. Maybe we're better than the Giants. Are we better than half the NFC currently? No, we're not. You know, it's true. It's been shown in years past, in recent years. So, you know, yeah, it's great to have all new everything, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to translate into, you know, a Houston Texans team overnight.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I have a question, though, Dominic. I have a question for you. Can you be genuinely excited about a season in which your team, more likely than not, won't make the playoffs? Because I think that's what we're in, that mode. I think the excitement for me is that this is should be year one of having the quarterback finally as an answer, having a coaching staff that's an answer, having a front office that's an answer, but just not immediate returns in the form of 8, 9, 10 wins in a playoff game. Can you be excited about a team and an upcoming season in which you don't think they'll make the playoffs?
Yes and no, and here's why. Because
quickly, I'm up against a hard break. Sorry.
I'm gonna say. Maybe, because we've seen this before. You know, okay. We make the playoffs, and then what happens a year after that? Four wins.
I know. I think
I'm not there yet.
I got to run, and I love when you call, Dominic, and I appreciate it, but I'm up against a really hard break because it's the end of the show, and Doc is standing by with Chris Russell to take over. But I think that's an interesting thing. You know, I'm always about it's every year is its own year. Anything can happen. Let's go try to win 10, 11 games and get to the playoffs where anything can happen. But when there's this much new and there's a little bit of a long-term play here, I wonder if you can be genuinely excited and anticipate a season in which you probably won't make the playoffs. Chris and Doc up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Everything is new, you know, as we are on the verge of training camp beginning. New owners, new front office, new coaching staff. 52 of the 90 training camp roster players are new. At least half of the starters on opening day will be new. And the new quarterback is the best chance for a decade-long starter since you-know-who in 2017. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What is your level of excitement and anticipation for the upcoming season? Is it more than it's been in recent years, the same as it's been, or is it less than it's been? And I know there are other factors in play here in terms of how they affect your emotions about this team as we enter a new season. Let's start with JP in Southeast. JP, go ahead.
Appreciate that, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the call.
Sure.
No, but to answer your question, man, I'm all the way excited, man, and it's just across the board. You know, you said it in the question by saying everything new, but I don't recall a time where it's been this new across the board. And you just look at the team. You know, obviously you'll start off at quarterback with, you know, who Jaden Daniels was in college, all that experience, the continued growth, and then you get to, you know, all season, the mini camp, the OTAs, and every single time I heard you guys mention what was happening at practice and heard other players talk, it was all positive. You know, so that I don't say that worries me. That's scary, but at the same time, you traditionally do not hear that from a quarterback. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, you know, B. Rob, you know, potentially finding an OC that's going to actually give him the ball. And then when he's not in the game, you got Austin Eckler, who can potentially get back to where he was just two seasons ago before the injury, when he was an absolute, you know, killer out the backfield. Then the O-line, you know, obviously they're much maligned, you know, compared to all the other position groups. But if you guys remember, when Jacoby Brissett came in the game last year, the offensive line looked way better. And so I'm excited to see what they can be with a real OC, real, you know, offensive minds behind them. Then you go to – I don't remember the last time we had backers the way that we have right now with, you know, Wagner and Luvu, even a rookie. I'm hearing the rookie made, you know, some huge, you know, plays and minicamp and all of that.
McGee, yeah.
And so I'm just excited. You know, we got good coaching, it seems. So I can't wait, Kevin.
God, that's good, JP. Good call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had – there's never been a year in recent memory like this one. You know, in 2010, you had Shanahan and McNabb. That's probably the closest in terms of massive change. You know, 2004, we had Gibbs come back and Brunell was the quarterback. You know, the RG3 year was still the same staff, same owner all along. The 2020 changes, there was no excitement at quarterback necessarily in 2020, other than Ron Rivera taking over and having a second year guy and Haskins in the building, but we haven't had anything like we've had now. There are other factors that drive the way you feel about the team, but just looking at the football part, new front office that constructed, you know, a roster that's got 52 new players in training camp than a year before, you know, likely half of them new starters, new staff, new head coach who took a team to a Super Bowl and had a 28-3 lead in it. The quarterback, obviously, is a big part of the new heading into this year. What's your level of excitement? Jimbo from the Eastern Shore. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Kevin. Good afternoon. I would say being along with others is definitely optimistic in a good way. And you would tend to think, I've never coached or nothing, but with all the new players and personnel turnover, even with some veterans, I would say they should have a little bit of a read on this team. 4 to 8 games anyway. What do you think?
Well, I think every season is a new season. Like every week in the NFL is almost like its own entity. But, you know, I don't know if 4 weeks you really learn that much about teams. I think you got to get almost to the halfway mark in the NFL to really understand what teams are. And even then, you know, injuries can change things. But I think, you know, I hope that 8 games into the season, we have a sense as to whether or not number 5 is the right guy at quarterback. But it takes time on these young guys. It's not like if it's not great, if the statistical numbers aren't awesome week 8, you're going to bail. There are other things to the job that could be indicators that he's the right guy. But that's where a lot of the focus will be. I'm also just intrigued with what they'll look like defensively. Because I think last year, a lame duck staff with Ron and Jack, I think that, you know, you had just miserable, early on, miserable performances on both sides of the ball. And even when you got on a little bit of a run offensively, the defense couldn't get off the field. I just wonder whether or not coaching in 2024 will make this defense much better. It can't be worse than it was last year, but I'm wondering how good it could be with the additions of Luvu, Wagner, Chin. And I'm expecting Duran and John to have big bounce back years. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic's calling from Tampa. Dominic, what's your level of excitement, anticipation for this upcoming season where everything is new?
Hey, Kevin, as always, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those realists, okay? And I'm going to be very transparent, you know. To me, we've seen this song and dance before. The excitement, the anticipation, and what happens? They lay an egg, all right? And I get it. I get it. All new everything. Staff, the Dan's not. I get all that. But I look at it this way, too, Kevin. Are we really better than the teams in our division? No, we're not better than Dallas. We're not better than Philadelphia. Maybe we're better than the Giants. Are we better than half of the NFC currently? No, we're not. You know, it's true. It's been shown in years past, in recent years. So, you know, yeah, it's great to have all new everything, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to translate into, you know, a Houston Texans team overnight.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I have a question, though, Dominic. I have a question for you. Can you be genuinely excited about a season in which your team, more likely than not, won't make the playoffs? Because I think that's what we're in, that mode. I think the excitement for me is that this is should be year one of having the quarterback finally as an answer, having a coaching staff that's an answer, having a front office that's an answer, but just not immediate returns in the form of 8, 9, 10 wins in a playoff game. Can you be excited about a team and an upcoming season in which you don't think they'll make the playoffs?
Yes and no, and here's why. Because
quickly, I'm up against a hard break. Sorry.
I'm gonna say maybe.
because we've seen this before. You know, we make the playoffs, and then what happens a year after that? Four wins.
I know. I think
I'm not there yet.
I got to run, and I love when you call, Dominic, and I appreciate it, but I'm up against a really hard break because it's the end of the show, and Doc is standing by with Chris Russell to take over. But I think that's an interesting thing. You know, I'm always about it's every year is its own year. Anything can happen. Let's go try to win 10, 11 games and get to the playoffs where anything can happen. But when there's this much new and there's a little bit of a long-term play here, I wonder if you can be genuinely excited and anticipate a season in which you probably won't make the playoffs. Chris and Doc up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.